We are called to serve the King. And we can do it by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God. And there's nothing more enjoyable, challenging, yes, but I've never been disappointed for saying yes to Jesus. Amen. I'm not talking about just a mental assent, yes, Jesus. I'm talking about saying, yes, Jesus, here I am, all of me. I'm done with my life. I want to walk in your life. How many have discovered his life is much better? You get sick and tired of your stuff, right? After a while, it's just kind of like, okay, now what? Well, let's watch another game. Let's watch another movie. Well, let's run out to Six Flags and have a wahoo time, you know, and go home, take an aspirin. You know, the world gives temporary pleasure. But there is no pleasure like the pleasure of the Lord. There's nothing that will fulfill you like being in the will and purpose of God and knowing that you're there with Him, that you're out on the waters with Jesus. We sing that song, He has called us out on the waters, folks, into the unknown. He calls us to go beyond ourselves, beyond our capability, beyond something we can do naturally. God is a supernatural God, and we're supernatural people. Because He dwells in us. And God is stretching and calling His people outside of the boat to get onto the waters with Him. And God wants to do mighty things through your life. Oh yes, your life too. Well, who am I? You're an amazing individual in Christ. Amen. You're an awesome person in Christ. Amen. Because an awesome God dwells within you. And God thought you were awesome enough. And He thought you were worth it enough to go to the cross for you. Don't come off with this, I don't feel worthy thing. God says you're worthy. Amen. He makes us worthy. But He loved us before we loved Him. When we have the encounter of God's love, then we will love. Because you can't love on command. One of the biggest problems we have sometimes in life is staying focused. All of us at some time have been inspired by the life of others. It's usually those who have made great achievements in life that we're inspired by. Do you know that God desires that everyone here succeeds? God wants every one of us here to be a success in life. God is not a respecter of persons. God doesn't say, I like him more than I like you. He says, if you will listen to my voice, you will succeed. The most important thing that we can succeed in is following Jesus and accomplishing his will for our lives. But in order for you and I to finish our course, to finish this race that we're in with joy, it's going to require that we have a focused life. It requires that we stay focused. People who achieve in this world are people who are able to focus and stay focused. Am I telling the truth today? One of the biggest reasons for a lack of productivity in our lives is broken focus. We need to know what to focus on, number one. We all have to have a focus. We have to have a goal. We have to have a reason or a purpose. And we need to know what that is. We need to know what God is saying to do. We got to fix our eyes on the prize. We got to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is our prize. Stay focused. Lift up your eyes. Amen? Look unto the hills from whence your help comes. Look to Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Set your affections on things above where Christ is. Keep focused. Keep your mind in heavenly places. Are you with me? Keep your eyes fixed upon Him who is the finish line of our faith. He's the joy who is waiting us at the end of it all. So as we keep our eyes on the Lord, no matter what's happening around us, We can be like Peter, who was able to get out of the boat and to walk on the waters. And as long as Peter kept focus, as you know, he was able to walk on the water with Jesus. Whenever he began to look around and he broke focus, he began to sink. Thank God that he's there when we do sink to just put his hand out and pull us back up again. Amen? You're not a loser because you make a mistake. A loser is one who doesn't get up. Stays down. You're here today, you made the right decision. Right? I don't know what's going on in your life or what's been happening in your life, but you made the right decision. You got up. You got out of bed this morning. Decided I'm going to get into fellowship today. I'm going to join with my brothers and sisters and we're going to seek the Lord together. And we're going to have an open heart to receive what he has to say. Father, I just thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit today. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll take the things of Jesus and reveal them to us right now. Sow it into our hearts with understanding. You know, if a person is a business owner and they keep themselves focused in the right place long enough, it will succeed. The problem is the long enough part. Sometimes we begin to focus and then something happens and we get distracted and we break focus. Are you with me? Yeah. The key is to stay focused long enough until you receive. Sometimes that long enough is a long time. But we're going to be tested in this area. Do we really trust the Lord? Do we really have faith to believe to see God's answer? Or do we quickly say, well, we went through the drive-through window of heaven. We've put in our order. And those guys were slow. So I'm out of here. I'm going to go to the next drive-in. And sometimes the next drive-in isn't where you should be eating. Are you with me? But sometimes we're in a hurry to get what we think we should have right now. How many know that God is wise? And he knows what we have need of and when we have need of it. So we've got to remain focused long enough in order to receive the promise. If God has given you a promise and he's given all of us promises, and you understand what that promise is, you need to stay focused long enough until you see that promise fulfilled. There are people listed in Hebrews chapter 11, these matriarchs and patriarchs of faith, you know, who they stayed focused throughout their life. They were not living for this world. They were seeking a heavenly kingdom. Amen. They were looking for one yet to come. So they stayed focused throughout their life. And some of them actually never saw the promises in their lifetime. However, because they were faithful during the time that they were here, the fruit is still abounding today to them, to their account. How many know because Abraham was faithful, he didn't see the full revelation. It's still happening today. Yes. Of the multitudes that are coming to Christ, the seed of the woman. Amen. So we see that if we will receive the promise of God, hear his voice, and stay focused, be tenacious, be determined that I'm not going to allow anything to distract me, because there will be waves, there will be wind, there will be opposition. Every time God gives you a promise, you're going to be tested to whether or not you're going to press in and believe to see the glory of God. And whether you ever see it or not in this lifetime, you got to know that God is faithful. Remember when I was a kid, my dad used to play in bands. So my brother and I, we got our first Mickey Mouse plastic guitars. And we used to strum along with my dad when he'd be playing with his group in practice. And my mom thought, wouldn't it be neat if those two could ever play together? You know, this is my brother Bruce, by the way. And we've been apart for so many years. And God had given us a promise over 20 years ago. It was about 23, 24 years ago that we were going to be in ministry together. Well, we had been in ministry for a short time before, but he ended up going. He was in the Air Force. I was in the Army at the time. We were all going different places. And God brought everything around full circle. And it's been, what, 2 years now? 3 years already. Wow. And God brought him here from North Carolina. I forgot all about that promise. But God is faithful. Thank you, Lord. How many know Bruce is a blessing? Isn't he a blessing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, now, how do I lose focus? We usually lose focus when we forget our purpose. We lose focus when we forget our purpose. Can I tell you what your purpose is today? I'll give it to you in a nutshell. It's you are an ambassador of heaven.
Amen. Yes.
An ambassador of Christ. That's your purpose. If you're in Christ today, if you're born again, if Christ is in you, you're an ambassador. That's your purpose. If we forget who we are, if we forget our purpose, then we have what's called broken focus. And when we have broken focus, we end up taking detours. We end up going down rabbit trails and getting off course. The good news is that God still got the course there. Amen. We just need to get off the rabbit trail and get back on the course again. But remember that you're in a race. And we have so much time in this race to accomplish the will and the purpose of God for our lives on the earth. And so how many would agree with me that it's very important that I understand my purpose, who I am, where I'm going, that I maintain focus? Don't forget who you are and don't forget what you've been called to do. You've been called to represent him. How many know that God wants every one of us here to be soul winners? To reach people for Jesus, right? Oh, it's not just for the preacher, right? It's for all of us. If you and I stay focused on Jesus long enough, folks, we're going to complete our course with joy. I think, unfortunately, so often in America, and some ministries are actually helping people with this, they've got people so focused on prosperity, so focused on the temporal, of just merely accumulating wealth. How many know that God's not opposed to wealth? Wealth is a tool, right? It can be a blessing, but it's not just to bless me. It's so I can be a blessing. But if our focus is just on accumulating wealth or pursuing temporary pleasures, then we've lost focus. Because when God's will is not our focus, then we will waste and spend ourselves on vain living, on things that in eternity amount to nothing. And remember, we have a certain window of time, a certain window of opportunity to accomplish what God has called us to do. Now, whenever you or I decide, we make up our mind, we repent to follow Jesus, it's not a free ride. Sorry, Dad. It's not a free ride. It requires an investment to follow Jesus. It requires that you and I invest ourselves now in this life as we're living for that eternal life. How many know it's not just a bless me club? But following Jesus, the true cost of discipleship requires an investment, and that investment is our lives. That is the reality. And when Jesus spelled that out for the people, many no longer followed him. They didn't want to pay the price to follow Jesus. They didn't want to deny themselves. They didn't want to take up their cross and follow him. What they didn't realize is that what they were losing was so far superior to what they thought they were holding on to. Whenever God has told me to get rid of that thing in my life or to set it aside, scrap it because it's eating up my time and it's wasting my life. Anytime I've obeyed God and said, okay, God, I'm done with this. I'm through with it. I've always felt a load come off. And I always felt such a peace. And I found that God's replacement for that thing that I thought I wanted was always so far superior to it that I never missed it. Are you with me? You have to invest yourself in the kingdom. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it will produce a harvest. Amen? So it is. We're actually living when we die. Oh, the world doesn't understand. How can you wrap your mind around that? But you'll come alive in resurrection power when you die to yourself. When you scrap your agenda and say it, lay it aside and say, God, I want your will for my life. Are we willing to say, God, whatever my dreams, my goals, my desires were, I'm going to lay them aside. I'm going to lay them at the altar so that I can follow you. And I've never regretted the times when I've done that. And you know what? I've done that and then I picked it back up before. You ever done that? Oh, no. And God says, lay it back down again. Give it to me again. And every time you do, you're like, oh, am I glad I got that monkey off my back. Lay down your worries. Lay down your fears. Lay down your shame. Lay down your guilt. Get rid of all that garbage and that baggage in your life. Give it to Jesus. Amen. Get free. Why are we carrying all this stuff around? Get free. Die to it. It's not my portion. It's illegal. How many know worry is illegal? Fear is illegal for a child of God. Except for the fear of the Lord. God says, get rid of it. Lay it down at the altar. And let me replace that with my life. Oh, yeah. When we come to the place where we're willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to invest my future in you. I'm willing to invest my life, my days to you. And when we do that, God says, okay, there's a vessel of honor. There's someone that I can raise up and I can use in a mighty way. God's trying to get his people to come to this place. And it's very difficult in America where we have so much distraction. Right? We have an instant access to entertainment at any time. And so our minds are consumed with entertainment. Come on. And what's happening is the devil is robbing God's people of their inheritance. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven, Jesus said. It's time for the church to come back and say, God, I just want to be in love with you. I just want to know you. I want you to know who I am too. In the sense that, oh yeah, I know who you are, he says. I don't want to walk with you. And I want to complete my assignment. I want to finish the task that you gave me. And I want to finish with joy. Amen? How many want to finish with joy? How many know that when you make the investment of your life for the kingdom, you will find joy? Amen. You will find real peace that passes all understanding. You'll find your completeness is not in the stuff or in the things of this world, but in Christ. He completes us. Jesus said this in Luke 14:28. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Folks, how many know that the world does not respect half-hearted Christians? When I was a heathen and I didn't know Jesus, I disrespected people who I knew were hypocrites. I knew the difference when I wasn't a Christian, of course. And I didn't go to church because there's a lot of hypocrites in church, you know. Best place for a hypocrite to be, right? And we don't have to be a hypocrite because a hypocrite is an actor. We have the authenticity, right? We have the authentic here. We have Christ. So we don't have to play. We don't have to act. We don't have to be, I don't know what we think people want us to be. We just need to be who we are in Christ. Be free to be you. But Jesus is saying you first sit down and you determine whether or not you're going to have enough to finish. In other words, if you're going to make a commitment to God, you need to understand the cost is that you need to invest yourself completely into it. And some people will decide, that's not for me. I still like to do my stuff. I want my life. I want it my way. I don't want to give my life away to anybody. But what they don't understand is that what they're actually doing is losing their life by doing so. You're actually wasting your life. You're losing it. When you give your life to Christ, when you fully commit your life, I mean, all in, you'll find your life. And that's why the halfway Christianity, the lukewarm Christianity doesn't work. Has anybody discovered that yet? Being half-hearted never works. God says, I want the whole offering. I bought you with my own blood. I want the whole offering. The world doesn't respect compromising Christians. Now listen, the world may hate you because you're a follower of Jesus. But you know, I've discovered something. The world may hate you for being a follower of Jesus, but they will respect you. Because you are a follower of Jesus and because you live what you claim you believe. And so this is the thing is that, you know, Jesus said, expect it. If you really live for me, some people are going to hate you. They'll even want to kill you. But they'll respect you. If you're a person of integrity, if you're a person of character, if you're a person who lives what you claim to believe. So this is the call of God for his church, for his people, to return with their whole heart. Whole heart, the whole offering. Focused people are people who achieve. Paul the Apostle, he lived a focused life. He said in Philippians 3:12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. What is that one thing? He says, this is the one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind. I'm talking about yesterday. What happened yesterday? We're going somewhere. We're going forward. Amen? Forget about yesterday. If you failed yesterday, today's the new day, the new beginning. If you live out of regret, if you live out of shame, if you live out of what if, you're not going to accomplish what is before you. God says, forget it. It's under the blood. Trust God with it. Trust God with your past. The enemy's constantly trying to remind you of your past. Wallow in your sorrows. Wallow in your hurts. Why? Because he wants to break your focus. He's trying to distract you from your course. Because if we stay focused long enough, if we keep pressing in, and we keep calling on God, and we keep believing God, the day is going to come when God is going to, amen, open the heavens over Shelton. It's already beginning. But we've got to stay focused. We've got to keep pressing in. We've got to keep moving on. Amen. If you make a mistake, come to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And he'll forgive you. That's it. Go on with your life. Get back up and get back in the race. Make that full commitment to God. He says, I forget those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul realized that he hadn't arrived at the place God had called him to. He knew there was more that God was going to do in his life at that time that he wrote that. Someone once said this. Are you hearing this today? Satisfaction is the grave of progress. Satisfaction is the grave of progress. I'm good. Are you with me? We get this I've arrived, I'm good enough mentality. And whenever we get to that place, usually we become complacent. We become apathetic. And we begin to lose ground. Because before long, while you're sitting in that place of complacency, how many know that life goes on? The race is still going on. The days and the hours are quickly going by. We got to rise, shake off the dust, and get back in the race, fix our eyes upon Jesus, and pursue Him. Don't pursue stuff. Don't pursue ministry. Pursue Him. And as a result of that relationship, ministry will be the result. See, even as Pentecostals, we can make idols out of the works we do too, even supernatural works. It can become all about the supernatural deeds that we do. Are you with me? Now, two things, folks. I want you to hear this. In relationship to Paul, failures and successes can be a hindrance to reaching our God-given destiny. Failures and successes can both be a hindrance to our success. Most of us are aware of the failure part, right? Come on. I can never be anything. Sometimes we just want to wallow in our regrets of yesterday and the things that we did that we're ashamed of. And I'll just never be anybody because look how I've lived my life. And, you know, the enemy wants to keep you in that mentality. He doesn't want you to know that God has already taken care of that for you. That God has already set you free from what was so you can be who you are now. Are you with me? He's the accuser of the brethren. He wants to rub it in your face and remind you of your regrets of the past so that you're broken focused and you're just looking at that stuff that you did and feeling sorry and shameful and, you know, guilty about these things. God says, you don't have to carry that anymore. I've already carried it for you at the cross. I already paved the way for you. I made a way for you to be free from your shame and your guilt and your regrets of yesterday. You just need to forget about those things now. I've taken care of it. It's under the blood. What you need to do now is take a look at me because I'm going to lead you somewhere. And I'm going to lead you on the waters. Amen? And how many know it's an exciting place to be able to walk on the waters with Jesus? God takes us in a higher place. He takes us to a better place. Sometimes the successes of the past can keep some folks from pressing on as well. Now, there's the other side. We can sit down with our tally, you know, our list of all the memories, precious memories, how they linger. What are you doing now? Right? Don't live out of what was. Thank God for those precious memories and the things that God has accomplished in your life. But those successes can also cause you to lose focus on the present and what God is calling you yet to accomplish in the future. Some people, they get to a place, they're older in life, and they just think, well, what can I do now? I'm old. Hey, ask Abraham and Sarah that. They had a child, right? How old is she? 90? He was 100? How could that be? It's a miracle baby. Isaac was a miracle baby. And Isaac's name means laughter, son of laughter. But yet, that's what God does. He sometimes we just get to a place where I've done enough. Time for me to retire. Come on, you know. Sometimes ministers, they get to a place where I'm just waiting to retire. What do you mean retire? What is there to retire to? A golf course? You walk around in Bermuda shorts and be a connoisseur of restaurants or, you know. How many know that if you've got life and you've got breath, you've got purpose and you've got an eternal destiny and you're in a race and there's a goal and we need to keep our eyes on Jesus and say, Lord, what do you say? Amen. Folks, I don't see myself sitting around, you know, at the end of my life and say, well, it's been a good life. I want to be like that. I told you before, like that hamster we had. It kept on plugging along and plugging along until one day he went up to the mound with a piece of food in his mouth and he just fell over dead. Boom. You know, that's the way to go out right there. Stay busy for Jesus. Man, I've heard guys in their 90s. Guys in their 90s. Earl Waterman, Bruce knows who he is. Fiery preacher for Jesus. You know, old men, older ladies. Still on fire for Jesus. They're blazing away. They're not retiring. We're going somewhere. I've been given this earth suit for a season. And while I'm in this earth suit, man, I'm going to bear fruit. I'm going to make progress. Right? God gave you that body so he can inhabit you and I and do mighty things through us. Keep your focus. If you can remain focused long enough, you're going to see fruit. You'll see the evidence of your faith if you remain focused long enough. Don't allow the devil to distract you. Don't allow him to break your focus. Don't allow your past to cause you to lose focus. And don't allow your successes to cause you to lose focus. Stay focused on him. Keep your eyes upon the prize. We're looking at Jesus. Paul said, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. How many know that Paul was a terrorist? He's persecuting the church. And yet Paul, he had every reason to have regrets. And those regrets could have kept him from accomplishing his purpose in life. But he said, I do this one thing. This one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to forget about what was. Paul also had many successes. He could have pat himself on the back and said, you've done a good job. You know what? I'm not going to pat myself on the back and say you did a good job. I want to see Jesus say that. Amen. I want to see Jesus in that day and say, you've done a good job, son. Yeah. Amen. Daughter, you've done a good job. You remain faithful. You fought the good fight. You overcame the world. Don't lose your focus. If you've lost your focus, what do you need to do? Get refocused. I know that was a revelation. Get refocused. You know, it's just like, how many of us have those exercise bikes, right? You already know where I'm going with it. I'm going to get this exercise bike because I don't like going to the gym, so I'm going to have it in my house, and I get on that bike every day, I'm going to work out. And so you do it for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. It's pretty boring looking at that wall, you know. Some of you may be able to maintain it, but others, we lose focus. Something happens. You get sick or you go on vacation and you break the pattern of exercise. And then you come back from vacation and you look at that and say, well, not today. And before long, all serving is what? A place to hang clothes. Yeah. So what happened there? Well, it's called broken focus. Now, that's a natural illustration. But, you know, the same thing is true about prayer, about Bible study, about church attendance, right? If we have broken focus, how about just the will of God? Isn't that just the most important thing for us? What is God's purpose for your life? You're an ambassador. You are an ambassador. Do you realize how much power resides in you? We're discovering that. We're discovering Jesus. We're getting out on the water. We're testing the water. We're going out with Jesus and say, Lord, I've never been here before. But God says, come on out on the water with me and watch what I'll do. You know, we'd never see a miracle if we didn't step out on the water with Jesus. If we're just sitting back and saying, well, I hope something happens. And what if nothing happens? Well, I better not do anything because if nothing happens, I'm going to look foolish. Huh? Fear, broken focus, lack of faith, it's unbelief. Jesus says, What I'm calling you to do, you can't do. So don't worry about it. I'm the one that's going to do it. All I'm asking you to do is be the vessel. To be in that place at that time. And when I speak to you, if you obey my voice, I will demonstrate my power. I will demonstrate my glory. So it's being available. It's simply, Lord, I can't do this, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to get out of the boat. I'm going to get on the water with you. Folks, I want to challenge you. And this is coming up in a few, I think when the fast is over, I feel the Lord is speaking to me about this. We're going to start doing some prayer walks. We'll start praying over our neighborhoods, wherever you live. It's going to be your assignment to pray and walk through and start calling in the souls, calling the people into the kingdom. You're going to start calling the kingdom, and you're going to ask God to come and to set up camp in these places where the enemy has camped. And all it takes, I want you to hear this, is calling on the Lord and saying, Jesus, come here. Lord, come here. Establish your throne here. Are you with me? We establish an altar here. This neighborhood is going to be for Jesus. We claim this neighborhood for Jesus Christ. And the enemy can't take it away. We're claiming this city for Jesus Christ. And we're going to stay focused. And we're going to keep praying. We're going to keep calling on God until that portal opens up in a massive way. We're digging wells here already. We're experiencing the waters of God. Amen. The living waters. But God wants to pour out a deluge that's going to so radically impact people. It's going to shake and rock their world to the degree that people are going to tremble under the fear of God. And they're going to say, what must I do to be saved? Hallelujah. It's like we read this morning of the Philippian jailer. He came trembling and said, what must I do to be saved? Joshua was a man who stayed focused. He was a man who believed God. And listen to what God told Joshua once again. Joshua 1, chapter 1, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. What does that mean, arise? It means break out of complacency. Break out of the place where you were. Break out of the position you've been in. Break out of the oppression. Break out of the apathy and the complacency. Arise. Stand up. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And this is what I love. Verse 3, every place. Somebody say every place. That the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Amen. Folks, I believe this is a word for us. How many have heard messages about this before? Folks, God is saying, as citizens of heaven and as ambassadors representing the kingdom government of heaven on the earth, who's been given the authority, the power of the Holy Spirit, we can walk and possess this place for Jesus Christ if we will do it. Man, there should be shouting going on right now. I want you to hear this, folks. The reason why Shelton's where it's at, I'm going to say this once again, because the church has been asleep. Because we've been in complacency and in apathy, and we've been doing our own stuff. We've been distracted. We've got broken focus. And God is saying, it's time, church, to get your focus back on the kingdom and the things of the kingdom and what I've called you to do in the allotted time you have left here on the earth, so that you may bear fruit unto eternal life, and that together in the day when we see Jesus Christ, we will all together rejoice. Rejoice, having our sheaves full. We've got to get the junk out. We've got to get the offense out. We've got to lay it aside, amen? And we've got to say, Jesus, I'm all in again. Oh, forget about what happened yesterday. Forget about the regrets of the past. Paul said, this one thing I'm doing. He says, I'm not going to remember that stuff. I'm not going to dwell on that stuff anymore. Even if it was success then, he says, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't arrived at my destination. And folks, if you think you've arrived, how many here have raised someone from the dead? Okay, we haven't arrived yet. Do you see, there's so much more that God yet has for us to do. So much more. And so don't think that, well, it's just me. What can I do? It's you and Jesus. Because I can say the same thing. Well, what can I do, Lord? Well, I can do all things through Christ. He's the one who strengthens me. He's the one who enables me. I can't do what I do except by the grace of God. You can't do what you do except by the grace of God. Right. And He loves you. And He has a plan. And He doesn't want you to lose focus, because He knows that if you get distracted and you get off your course long enough, you can actually lose your reward. Paul said, I die daily. And he says, I bring my body under subjection. I make it serve me. I get a hold. If I have to fast and pray, whatever it takes, get a hold of yourself. Are you with me? Get control of yourself and get focused and get back in the race. Because he said, even after I preach to others, I myself could be disqualified for the prize. It really means I could be cast away. Whatever that means. All I know is that I'm in this all the way. It's exciting to serve Jesus. It's an adventure. To see somebody come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, to be saved, to be born again, that's an adventure. That's exciting. To see someone's life changed, to see the shackles and the chains come off of somebody, to see somebody set free from demonic oppression or possession is amazing, and it's awesome, and it's joyful. Amen. To see a soul set free, to see someone who is broken to be healed, someone who's emotionally scarred to be healed, to see people, amen, healed in their physical bodies. It's an amazing thing. And we get to do this. You get to do this too. Do you know that? You're called to do this too. Let's get busy. Let's get back in the race. Let's get refocused. Because the day is coming, folks, where we're going to see the Lord. And we're going to do it because we love. I don't know if I have to. We get to. Listen to what God said to Joshua in verse 5 and 6. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Stay focused. As God promised Joshua the land, so God is promising us our land, our Jerusalem. We need to stay focused. Galatians 6:9. I'm going to finish with this. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Good News Bible says it this way. So let us not become tired of doing good. For if we do not give up, the time will come when we will reap the harvest. If we do not give up, the time will come when we will reap the harvest. If we, that'd be a good song. If we do not give up, the time will come when we will reap the harvest. If we do not give up. Broken focus. If it's been broken focus, maybe it's a time for you to recommit your life to Jesus. I don't know where you're at today, but if you've lost focus, if you're not on the path, if you haven't counted the cost, if you haven't made the investment of your life and your future and your agenda to God, now's the time to do it. To recommit, to reconnect with God, to get refocused, and let the power of God fill your life once again. Let the joy of the Lord fill your heart again. There is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. If you feel condemned today, it's not from God. The Holy Spirit convicts us, but only because He loves us. And He wants to bring us back into our purpose, restore us, and launch you back out into the harvest, out on the waters with Jesus. You are a world changer in Christ Jesus. You're a world shaker. You need to know who you are. I'm not asking this to be a rehearsed answer or anything, but how many believe today that it is God's will to take this city? We've got to know that. If it's His will, then let's do it. Because the only thing that's going to stop us is we doing nothing. We've got to get up. We've got to rise up, and we've got to cross over. Whatever the circumstances that are in your way, cross over them. Step over them. Get it out of the way. And don't look back. There's nothing to look back to. Jesus said, "He who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom." You're not prepared. Let's get prepared. Let's get refocused. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for your word today. I thank you for your grace. I thank you that, Lord, you have called us, Lord. We didn't look for you, but you look for us, Lord. You called us out. We are your church, your called out ones. Father God, we thank you that we have been allowed to be a part and a partaker of the divine nature. And to be called, Lord, to be ambassadors and to represent your kingdom government on the earth. And to affect change wherever we go. Father, I pray that you'd help each one of us, including me, to be refocused today. To make the decision today. Right where you're at, you can say, "Jesus, I'm ready. I'm ready for you. I'm done with my way. Lord, I'm tired of picking the stuff back up again. Lord, I'm laying it down at your altar. I'm laying all the junk down there, Lord. I'm laying the past. I'm laying my sin. I'm laying it all down at the altar today, Jesus. I ask you to remove it, blot it out, wash me in your blood. And I ask you to fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit and to motivate my heart with your love in the direction of your will for my life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord."